ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् विघ्नस्तेजो ददातु मयि मेधां मयि प्रजाम् मयीन्द्र इन्द्रियं ददातु मयि मेधां मयि प्रजाम् मयि सूर्यो भ्राजो ददातु ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्म उपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तो ते मयि सन्तो ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. Okay, in the sixth chapter, I told the whole thing. I completed the whole teaching, but I did not do it with the textbook. In the 13th section, by asking the student, Shweta Ketu Uddalaka, to ask him to find out the salt dissolved in the water. I'm sure you remember that. In the 13th section, I told like a story. The 13th section, Uddalaka tells his son Shweta Ketu to mix thick salt crystals in the water and bring that salt dissolved water next day to the class. And when Shweta Ketu brings that water next day and he is asking, now please find out those, bring those salt crystals you dissolved in the water. And this Shweta Ketu, using his hand, he searched for the salt crystals. He could not find it. And later on, the salt crystals which were dissolved in the water, not available for perception through the eyes. He could not get them through the hand, which were not available for the touch also. Then when he asked him to taste the water, to do the archamanam of the water, to have the sip of the water from the container, the bottom of the container, middle of the container, top of the container, when he sip the water, he could find that salt was very much dissolved in the water. So through this example, what he wanted to establish was the salt dissolved water example. What Uddalaka established was the object which is not available for perception or knowledge through one means of knowledge should not be mistaken for a non-existent object. Just because the salt was not available for eyes to see or not available for the touch, you cannot decide that salt is not there in the water. Salt is not non-existent in the water. Salt is not absent or non-existent, but salt is there very much in the water, dissolved, pervading the entire container full of water. But only thing is, we need appropriate, valid means of knowledge. Just because available for touch and eyes, you cannot deny, you cannot say the salt is not there at all. The salt may not be, salt is not available for to see through eyes, but salt is available for the experience perception through the appropriate pramanam called tongue. When you taste it, it is available. So by which what you want to establish is that the absolute reality, which is not available for any of the five senses or any other pramanam, the sixfold pramanams, like pratyaksha pramanam, perception, reality, Brahman, Atma is not available for perception, therefore definitely not available for inference or comparison. So we have six pramanas, six means of knowledge, like perception, inference, comparison, then presumption, you know, then anupalabdhihi, absence, then shabda pramana. But still, this Brahma, Atmani Brahman, is available for recognition only through shabda pramana, Veda Shastra. Vedanta Shastra Shabda Pramanam is available only for Shabda Pramanam. Only through the words of the Vedanta Shastram, absolute reality can be arrived at. That is what is established in the 13th section. I think we saw that also in the class. And then the 14th section, the Upanishad presents the story. That not a very elaborate story. It just tells there were kings, the people of the king's court, and they brought one thief. They brought one thief, and they said he was a thief. He was presented in the court as a thief, was involved in the wrong act of stealing. Then when the king asked him, "Did you steal?" He said, "No, I am not a thief." So the king said, "If your statement is a fact, then you will not be burnt. You will not become the victim of getting burnt. If your statement is not a fact, it's a falsehood, then you'll become the victim of touching the you'd get burnt." The king asked him, king instructed his people to bring a sword which was heated in the fire, very well heated, burnt, hot sword was brought. And they kept the hot sword there. And they asked this thief, you know, "May you touch this sword? You have to hold this hot, burnt sword like this." And he said, "If your statement is a fact, I am not a thief. I am not a thief is a statement of fact. Then you will not be burnt by, get burnt after by touching the hot, burnt sword. Your statement is a falsehood. I am not a thief is a falsehood. Then you will become afflicted by touching that hot sword." Because the sword was put in the fire, it was hot now. Very, very hot. Therefore, here the lesson is, Satyam alone has substantiality. Mithya has no substantiality. Therefore, "I am not a thief" is a fact. Then when you touch this burnt, very hot sword, you will not be afflicted. If it is not a fact, then you will be afflicted. It's a falsehood, you will be afflicted. The lesson here is, such a small, the story is not important here for us. Aham Brahma Asmi is a statement of fact. Aham Brahma Asmi is statement of fact. It's a knowledge. If this knowledge is true, fact true to my understanding, if my knowledge of myself is correct knowledge, Aham Brahma Asmi, I the self am the limitless reality, the consciousness. If it is a fact for me, it is not unknown, I'm not ignorant of the fact. It is not an falsehood for me. It's a fact for me. Which means, then I have no identity with the body, mind and complex. My identity is only with the consciousness, Brahman. Then what happens? Then one will not become victim of the samsara. So the samsara the life of samsara is like, life of samsara in this life, it is the birth, death, and in between birth and death, we have to go through pairs of opposites. And when we go through, we'll become the samsara. This word is like a samsara, this life. We will get burnt by the samsara, by the samsara fire. We'll become afflicted. We have what now? We have the tapatrayam, adhyatmika tapa, adi dainika tapa, adi bhautika tapa. We'll get afflicted by the heat of samsara in the form of adhyatmika tapaha, adi bhautika tapaha, adi dainika tapaha. If it's not a fact for us, aham brahma asmi is not a fact, then what will be the fact for us? I am the body, mind is complex will be the fact. If aham brahma asmi is not the fact, then definitely we will be afflicted by this heat of samsara in terms of adhyatmika tapa, adi daivika tapa, adi bhautika tapa. We will get afflicted by the heat of problems arising from three different sources. Will get burnt. If aham brahma asmi is a fact for us, then there is no tapatraya for us. There is no adhyatmika tapa, there is no adi daivika tapa, adi bhautika tapa. No heat, no pain can affect you, arising from any source. There is no adhyatmika tapa, or adi devika tapa, or adi bhautika tapa, no tapa, no heat, no problem, no pain will affect you. You are free from pain. When does it happen? You are free from tapatraya when this aham brahma asmi is a fact. If aham brahma asmi is not a fact for you, then you can't help being afflicted by the heat of samsara in the form of three adhyatmika, adibhautika, adidevika tapa. This is the lesson given in the last 15th section. Now, 14th section. So, emphasizing the importance of the pramanam in one section, emphasizing the importance of teacher in one section, and beautifully saying, aham brahma asmi, if it is a statement of fact for us, then we are not affected by the punishment of, getting burnt by samsara heat in terms of tapatrayam. If it is not a fact, then we can't help, but we will get affected by the samsara tapatrayam. That's the lesson revealed in the 14th section. Okay. In the 15th section, what is there in the 15th section? In the 15th section, let us read the 15th section. Very interesting section. In the 15th section, death is discussed. Maranam is discussed in the 15th section. Why maranam is discussed again? We will understand what is death. At the same time, we'll understand one more fact. How we are all essentially pure existence. We are all different individuals, enjoying different minds, different emotions, different thoughts, and different views and contentions, different views and opinions, different constitutions and different bodies. We're all different physically, emotionally, intellectually, physiologically, we're all different. Physically, we are different. Physiologically, we are different. That's why if I eat, your hunger will not go. You all have to eat. You drink, my thirst will not go because we are physiologically different, physically different, emotionally we are different, it's slightly different, intellectually we are different, but essentially we are non-different. Because essentially we are all not many, we are all one. Yes, relatively, empirically, physically, physiologically, emotionally, intellectually, we are all different. But essentially, we are all non-different, only reality. We are all one. So what we are essentially, that is Satyam. That is Satyam. But the differences are all Mithya. Non-difference is Satyam. Differences are all Mithya. When we fall asleep, we have analyzed this. In sleep, when we fall asleep, we already understood we all remain resolved. Every individual in sleep remains resolved as pure existence in one's own Swarupam. We understood the very first section. In the same way, in sleep, what happens to us? In sleep, when you fall asleep, you remain resolved in your own nature as pure existence. So you are just yourself, pure existence in sleep. And what is that pure existence? The pure existence is nothing but pure consciousness. Which means existence and consciousness are not two different things. Pure existence is pure consciousness only. See, not only in sleep, in also in death, it happens the same. In sleep, nothing happens to us. We know very well, we fall asleep. Again, we wake up. Only the world resolves, the body mind's complex resolves, whereas you are there, nothing happens to you. Then you wake up. In the same way, death also, in the death also, ultimately, how the sukshma resolves. Resolution of sukshma, temporary resolution. In sleep, temporary resolution happens. In death also, temporary resolution happens. But the duration is long. After sleep, you wake up in the same body. After death, you wake up in a different body. This only difference. But temporary resolutions. Whereas in jnanam, resolution is absolute resolution. Permanent resolution. When the sukshma is resolved permanently, absolutely for good, we call it atyantika pralayaha. Atyantika pralayaha means absolute resolution of sukshma. Therefore, no returning, no more assumption of physical body is possible. We call it atyantika pralayaha. It's called absolute resolution, videha muktihi. Well, what happens in death? In death also, every individual, one resolves, remains resolved in one's own nature as pure existence, pure consciousness. Everyone, every individual, the time of death remains resolved as one's own, in one's own Swarupam as pure existence. Therefore, death is not there for the Atma. Death is not there for you, the reality. Then what is death then? Sukshma also does not die. You do not die because you are pure existence and pure consciousness. You remain resolved in your real nature as pure existence and consciousness. So sukshma does not die. Stulam, sukshma leaves the physical body and stulam becomes disintegrated, continues to exist in a different form. This is called death. There's no destruction of anything here. Physical body is also not destroyed totally. It is destroyed relatively. It undergoes a change. Then Sukshma continues to exist. And you remain resolved in your Sarupam as pure existence, pure consciousness. This is what is death. How does the death happen? That is said in the 15th section. Let us read that section. Purusham somya utopatapinam jnatayaha pariyupasate. The first sentence. He says, hey Somya, please listen carefully. Hey Somya, oh my dear son, utopatapinam, utopatapi, utopatapi means jvaradi, jvarat, upatapavantam. The person who is sick, who has fever and who is highly, sick and he is in the death bed. Okay, this is the person. The person who was sick, old, and who is now very weak, he is in the sick bed. Jnatayaha means people, the acquaintances. Jnatayaha means acquaintances, therinjavanga. People who know us. And those people, pariyupasate, they approach him. They will go to see him. In our culture, it is there. Somebody is very death bed, very unwell, very sick, is about to die. And we want to go and see that person last. Let us go and say hello to him because let us go and see him. We always have that, that we go and see the elders who are in the deathbed to get the blessings and to see him, to make him feel supported. We all go and see. So, jnatayaha means the people who are known to him, acquaintances, our friends, relatives, children or offspring, his own kith and kin, they all approach him, go to this person who is old, sick and unwell, who is in the deathbed. When they go, this person is so weak, he cannot even talk much, not loudly, he cannot speak, he cannot walk, he's bedridden. And people go to him and stand next to him and ask him, do you remember me? Do you know me? I have come here, I am your nephew, I am your niece, I have come here, I am your, your daughter, I am your son, I have come to see you. Remember me, we go to tell him. The same way here also, Upanishad says, Janasi maam, enna therida, enna therida. Janasi maam, Janasi maam, but now, do you know me? Do you remember me? Do you know me? Janasi maam iti. So the jnatayaha, the people who are known to this sick person, approach him, go to him and tell him what? Do you know me? Do you know me? Do you remember me? Janasi maam. Because they want to check whether this person remembers him. I think he still has memory or not. Has become senile or he still remembers him or not. They want to check. So they will tell, I have come here to see you. You are very important for me. Do you remember me? They ask. Then, initially this person, he speaks back in a feeble voice. Very, very feeble voice. That time, this person is conscious, alert, weak but alert and conscious. He is able to see also. And he says, if he speaks back, replies in a feeble voice. Then, in few days time, this person, what is the organ which first resolves? Please understand, whoever dies, the first organ which will resolve is the organ of speech. Whoever dies, the first organ which resolves is the organ of speech. This person was replying in a feeble voice. He could hear and he was alert. Conscious, he was, so he could reply. But after a few days, first he stopped speaking. Why? The organ of speech resolves. Where, Upanishad says, யாவன் வாங் மனசி சம்பத்யசே தஸ்ய யாவன் வாங் மனசி சம்பத்யதே. As long as the organ of speech remains, they can ask for it. When the organ of speech resolves in the mind, but still mind, he is still conscious, alert, he is able to see somehow, but he is not able to talk. When people go and talk to him again, that time he cannot reply, he cannot talk back, he cannot say anything. He has thoughts in his mind, but he cannot express through his words. So he expresses his thoughts in the form of tears. The tears will roll down the cheeks because he is not able to express through his words. Why? Already organ of speech is resolved in the mind. Therefore, he cannot speak anymore. Organ of speech is resolved. He cannot speak anymore. Then later on, now still mind is there. Mind is alert. Therefore, he thoughts express them of tears. Then slowly mind also resolves. What the next organ resolves is what? Organ of the antahkaranam, mind resolves in the prana. So organ of speech resolves in the mind, mind resolves in prana. Manaha prane. Upanishad says manaha prane. Mind resolves in prana. When the mind resolves in prana, that is the time all the sense powers resolve in the prana. Therefore, hearing is not possible, seeing is not possible. Now, first speech has gone already. Okay, the smell is not possible, touch is not possible, nothing is possible. Therefore, this person remains lying down in the bed, keeping all his organs closed, but prana is still there. You can see, he still is breathing. Breath alone is there, prana is there, mind is resolved. Therefore, even if you go and shout at him, scream at him, near him, he will not respond at all. Before he responded through speech, feeble voice, then he responded through shedding tears. Now he cannot respond at all. But to respond, mind must be alert. Mind is there, but mind is resolved. He doesn't respond. Prana alone is still there. Innum moochirukku. We always say still the breath is there. Then what happens later? Pranaha tejasi. Then the prana also resolves. The prana resolves. That is to say, pulse goes down and prana resolves in the heat of the body. Prana has gone, pulse gone down, prana also has resolved. What is there? Still body warmth is there. Still you can feel the warmth. Kadasi warmth is there. Tejas. The body's heat is still there. Then finally, the heat in the body also resolves. And the heat in the body resolves. That is body becomes cold. Then only we say what? The person has gone. Povitar. The person has gone. Departed. Then we call the body a dead body when the heat also is resolved. Heat resolves in what? Heat here is Agni Tattvam. So the organ of walk resolves in the mind. Mind resolves in prana. Prana resolves in the fire. In the body. Then the heat in the body also resolves. Ultimately what? We say Here we Upanishad does not talk about Vayu and Akasha in this Upanishad. It resolves in Parasyam Devatayam. He resolves in Brahman. What happens to you? You are Brahman. Therefore, everything resolves in you. You are Brahman. Nothing happens to you. Tavat Janati Parasyam Devatayam. Then the physical body is completely a dead body. It becomes disintegrated. Therefore, what happens to you if you ask? You remain resolved in your nature as pure consciousness existence. This is what is said in the first mantra. Purusham somya utapata utap utopatapinam jnatayav paryupasate janasimam janasimam iti tasya yavanna vang manasi sampadyate manam prane pranas tejasi tejas parasyam devatayam tavat janati. Mantra already tells this much. Okay, vang manasi sampadyate. Walk resolves in mind. Mind resolves in prana. Prana resolves in the heat of the body. Then the heat of the body finally resolves in Brahman. Means everything resolves. Which means the mind resolves by what outlives. But what happens to the self? You, I, you are Brahman. Nothing happens to you. This is what the death. You are Brahman. This explained again. Next mantra. Atha yadasya vang manasi sampadyate manaha prane pranas tejasi eja parasyam devatayam atha na janati. But when what happens? The person who dies does not know anything what happens. The person who dies, whose organ of speech resolves, mind resolves, prana resolves, the heat resolves, for that person, no pain or whatsoever. Whenever the people who die, the person who has departed has no pain, no dukkham, no sorrow. Oh, what will happen to my children? No worry, no identity with the body, no children conscious, nothing. Once you die, the person dies, then the person will not have worry or any fear or any problem, pain about the children or wife or husband or anything. Now in the world, nothing will be there. But for the people who are around us, they will have all the problems, isn't it? We miss the person and then we cry and then we worry and then we lament and we moan and we talk about the person, the good things and bad things, everything we talk about. And then we will be crying for a long time, keeping how close we are to the physical person, we will be worried also. But for the person who died, for him, nothing. No worry whatsoever. Nothing he knows. How just as nothing is known in sleep, what happens to you in sleep, what pain do you have in sleep? Nothing. Similarly, nothing will be there for you in death also. You will be in your own Swarupam. You will remain resolved in Swarupam as pure existence consciousness, just as you remain resolved in your Swarupam as pure existence in sleep. This is what is said in this chapter. Nothing new. With this, the chapter is, this section is over. 15th section is over. Sayaye shonima aitadatmyamidam sarvam tat satyam sa atma tatvamasi shvetaketo. So the same mantra is repeated. I told you many times this. So that absolute reality is what? Saha yaha yeshaha. This atma, all pervasive reality, obtaining as the innermost essence of every being is what anima, the abstract, subtlest reality. And this the entire universe has this consciousness existence as the self. Brahman, the existence, the absolute reality, abstract, subtlest reality as the self. Therefore, tat satyam, that Brahman alone is satyam. And that satyat Brahman is what? Atma, all-pervasive reality. And that all-pervasive reality, the existence, pure existence, which alone is satyam, is what? Nothing but you. Tattvamasi shvetaketo. Tattvamasi shvetaketo. You are the reality, shvetaketo. He tells that. Tattvamasi shvetaketo. When he tells, again, shvetaketo says, Bhuyaha eva bhagavan ma vijnapayatu. Please teach me little more. Hey Bhagavan, O Lord, please teach me little more. Then Uddhalaka accepts, Tatha Somya, okay, I will teach you again. He tells. So with this, the 15th section is over. The 15th section only tells you what this is, what the death is, and this is what happens at the time of death. Which organ resolves first, which organ resolves later, what happens when organs resolve, nothing happens to you. That is what Upanishad wants to say. Why nothing happens to you? Because you are satyam, you are absolute reality, you are pure existence, Brahman, you are consciousness, Brahman, nothing happens to you. If you know this, it should help us what? If aham brahma asmi, that jnanam is very clear. If I am, nothing happens to me means I am immortal reality, Brahman. I am immortal, eternal, real, beginningless, endless, changeless reality, Brahman. I am existence, consciousness. Means, death is not there for me. This knowledge what now will help you understand the fact also. Death of the physical body, physical body becoming disintegrated is the death of the physical body, and which is inevitable, which is unavoidable. We must be mature enough to understand the fact that the physical, any material product subject to change. So body object to get disintegrated, we have no say over it. That's the nature of the matter. Therefore, that is what happens to the body. You cannot cry over the change happening on the part of the body. If we cry, means like we are crying about, you know, the child, like a child crying for the balloon when it breaks. It's a fact. We have to understand the fact, accept the fact. We have to learn to be mature. Then, Atma, of course, you are, nothing happens to you, Brahman. So, with this, 15th section is over. All these sections are repeated just to tell you, emphasize the fact how you are essentially the truth of the universe is pure existence, which is all the time experienced with the Namarupa in the form of the Jagat. And without the Namarupam, Jagat is what? Pure existence. With the Namarupa is what? Existence with the Namarupa is Jagat. Existence without Namarupa is pure existence, pure Sat, Shuddha Sat. That is nothing but pure consciousness.